Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music you heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, please give Walt a call, 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president, radio operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and is part of the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Our shows are carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., and you can hear them at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Our entire show archive can be heard at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And make sure to like us on our Facebook page, Art on the Air, WVLP. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air and, of course, the WVLP station, we'd be happy to become part of the WVLP family anytime. Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there or at wvlp.org/support. So don't just be a WVLP and Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air and the whole WVLP family. Join the WVLP family today. And now on Art in the Air Spotlight, we have Becky Jokowiak. She is the president of the Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation, and she's going to tell us about a special event coming up, which has been impacted by the COVID. Becky, welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Becky.
Thanks.
This time of year is always the annual gala, and of course, that's always something all the theater groups in Northwest Indiana look forward to. But before we get to that, tell us about how many members are in Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation. Just a brief thing about that before we get to the gala.
So the Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation represents about 20 different theaters across Northwest Indiana, whether community theater or educational theater. We have theaters in Lake Porter and LaPorte County. And our role is to really bring audiences to the theater and help the theaters do what they do best. So let them concentrate on putting on great art. And we're there to help market and fundraise and support the administrative side of theater.
And the group's been around for how long?
We have been around for 28 years.
Yes, I remember because I was working at the Center for Visual Performing Arts when actually we at the center were talking about starting an awards thing, and then it kind of grew up, and so we stepped aside to let the thing form. So, well, this time of year, we talked about the gala, and you usually have a great, that's your big awards ceremony, kind of an Oscar-style awards ceremony that you do. But this year, the COVID has impacted this. Tell us about what you're doing in place of that.
Yeah, COVID has definitely affected the arts in every single way. And because all of our theaters had to shut down in March, which is just partway into our season, we decided to take our event online. And instead of it being an award celebration, we are celebrating community through theater. And so normally we would be recognizing our best actors and best directors and best shows and that sort of thing. And this time we will be using an online platform to network with each other, to catch up with old friends. It's one of the things we hear most about the gala, that the actors who are performing every weekend never get to actually see each other and spend time together. So that's what we're hoping to create, is an atmosphere of togetherness and community.
And so what do you think that's going to look like? How are people going to be able to, I mean, because I imagine there's going to be more than 10 people who want to join in on this.
Yes, I surely hope there'll be more than 10 people. So we'll be using the Zoom platform, and there are different breakout rooms available in Zoom. And so there'll be either different topics like, hey, were you involved in this specific show? Go hang out in this room for a little bit. Or do you want to do some theater trivia and go hang out in this breakout room for a little while? Or do you want to catch up with so-and-so, one of our board members? Go hang out in this room. So there'll be a variety of breakout rooms that people can move in between. And then we'll come back together every 10 or 15 minutes or so. And we will award our Volunteers of the Year, which is something separate from the onstage awards.
You didn't have any viewing this year, did you?
We had very little. The season actually starts in September. So we had a few shows that were up in the fall and at Christmas time, right before COVID hit. But then, so what we're doing is we're extending our season. Instead of it being 1 year long, it will be 2 years. And so it will run from September of 2019 through August of 2021 for the next time that we do our onstage awards.
Where do you usually hold your awards at?
So we rotate the event around through Lake Porter and LaPorte County. Last year, it was at the Hellenic Cultural Center in Merrillville. Prior to that, it was at the Blue Chip Casino. We've had it at Balboa University. This year, we were originally scheduled to be at the Porter County Expo Center. So we'll be there next year instead.
How many people attend the gala usually?
Usually there's between 200 and 250 people that come to a full dinner and dessert and a showcase of wonderful acts and all kinds of things. But this time, we're hoping that a good number still come to our online event. We are charging for our event, which is different than a lot of online events. We are charging $10. But for every one of those $10 tickets, the person can select which theater they would like their $10 to go to, and it will be a direct donation to the theater of their choice.
Now, that was a great idea.
Yes, it is. So tell us how we can find out about that, your website, your Facebook presence, and things like that.
Absolutely. It's the Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation. If you take that as an acronym, NIETF.org, you'll get to our website, or Facebook.com/NIET Foundation. And that will give you all the great information. Look up Celebration of Community, and you can get your ticket right there, and you can comment. There's already a proposed dinner and dessert plan out there using puns of titles of shows.
Attend the Tale of Sweeney Todd, right? Pies, exactly. Meat pies.
Yes, real quick, people breaking out into song, I think.
Absolutely.
Real quick, what's the date of the event?
October 24th at 7 p.m.
Okay, October 24th, 2020, 7 p.m., and that's, of course, Central Time for those of you that cross the border. Hey, that's Becky Wachowiak, President of the Northwest Indiana Excellence and Theater Foundation, our guest once again on Art in the Air Spotlight. Thank you, Becky, for coming on.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Now a very special musical treat during the pandemic from Billy and Renee Foster, their new song called Virus.
Corona, Corona, stay at home if you can. Corona is on the scene. The life you say could be yours or one of your family. chance and spread this virus. Essential workers, this really shows that they are our real heroes.
We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Lee Bauman. She's a watercolor painter, mixed media artist, graphic designer, instructor, fashion designer, and also managed the LaPorte County Symphony for a period of time. Lee, welcome to Art on the Air.
Aloha, this is great to be here. Hi, Esther and Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. Well, we'd kind of like our audience to hear your journey story from where you were to where you are now.
Well, that's I'll try to give you the short version. I grew up on a farm in Indiana, really close to Ohio, and I was surrounded by family. The farm next door, the only one you could see was my grandma's. My uncle and aunt lived the mile the other direction, and then there was this wooded area around the farms, and it was a culture of women who made a lot of stuff. And my mom was a seamstress and loved to paint and embellish and make decorating items, and I always was making something. I found, I was at the farm, I was cleaning out all the stuff for my dad and found a Crayola box that said, I am an artist. I am 7 years old. My name is Leota Curie, which was my name most of my life until I went to college. And then my roommate, who was a music major, couldn't remember Leota. And so I started saying, well, just call me Lee. And that's kind of stuck ever since. I went to Huntington College first, and they didn't have an art major as a possibility. And that's really where I kept gravitating to. So I ended up transferring to Bethel College because at that time they had a consortium program where you could take IUSB classes and Notre Dame classes and be an art major. I think I'm the only one that did it, but, it was a good background and a good grounding. And, when I attended my senior year, I ended up living in LaPorte, so it was a bit of a commute, but I was highly influenced by Harold Zisla at IUSB, who was an extremely amazing painter. He was retired from working as a designer at Bendix, and he had such gusto and excitement about art, and his specialty was watercolor, and that's when I really became a watercolorist, and I still love it to this day, but through the years, I've dabbled with watercolor. I've done a lot with acrylic. I did a lot of impasto on canvas pieces. And then most recently, in 2019, I took this masterclass in mixed media and just felt like I was really
at home. It's very freeing, isn't it? It's just so freeing to have multiple disciplines all in one.
Well, and it was Kelly Day who taught this masterclass, and she really, her job was to open up artists that felt stale, and I didn't feel stale. I'd been taking master classes all these years and various things, but mixed media brought the kid out in me again, because you could use just about anything in it, and I started with just tearing up paper and putting my energies and life and thoughts as a background, and then painted on top of that, and then did some more glazing on top of that, and I think there's like five different processes that I use now when I do the mixed media, and it's really, really brought me together to a different level.
It's very playful. I mean, it shows in your work too. There's like even though it's always had a lot of movement, there's of a freedom or joy with the mixed media pieces.
Thanks. I think I have that too. And I think that that's what's really led to. So last year I had a show in Valparaiso. Through the course of time, I lived in Indiana and LaPorte for 27 years. Then I moved to Naperville and Bolingbrook for about 12 years. And then my husband, Philip, moved to Valparaiso. Been 2 years now. And we love it here. When I took the mixed media class, I was able to have a show in Valparaiso at the Pines Village Gallery. And it was a retrospect of what I've been doing, but, I in just a short period of time, I had 8 new mixed media pieces, and they were the kind of the showstoppers and made me feel good too, to see where I've been and where I am now. And it's freeing. And I've been embellishing fabrics and fashions and doing a lot of painting scarves as well. And all of those just mushroomed in their energy and excitement and variety of color. And with the mixed media classes, I learned to use some pens and that you could fill with fluid acrylics. And it was life-changing because all of a sudden I could sketch and write on top of anything and it turned out great instead of having something that bleeds or something that's not there. So the materials through the years compared to what I started with are vastly different and inspiring too.
What does your creative space look like when you start a painting? Do you have all of your toys out or where do you start, I guess, with a painting?
Well, I do. That is what I do is I have a bin of papers. What's been wonderful is I keep, programs of shows that my husband has conducted or things that we've gone to or just random tickets. And I have a little box that I keep all those in. And now I'm using them on the basis of things because I'll use that, you can see it in one of my paintings. It's really called Cherry Blossoms and it's based on the cherry blossoms that we saw in Washington, D.C. But there's a Las Vegas ticket in there that I just kind of threw in and I love it. And I think that's, it just personalizes it, whatever I do. So yeah, I have a variety of stations and different things. And then I just go probably put maybe up to 8 layers of pigment or papers or jelly prints or stencils all on there. And it's,
do you favor a particular size to work with or?
I've been working. I like square shapes I like the square because then I constantly turn it and then I decide what side is up and after I'm done. So I'm liking squares, but I work in square shapes from 8x8s to a lot of 12x12s. But then when I really like something, I go 30x30 and do larger size too.
Encaustic with it or?
I have not. But I use a method that looks like that because
it does.
A buildup of varnishes, acrylic varnishes and things and glazes that look that way, but they're water soluble, so they're a little easier to use.
Before we get you away from your arts for a minute, you also do arts management, and also talk about that and what you served as executive director for the Loar Park County Symphony. So tell us a little bit about that experience also.
Well, and you'll see a lot of music in my art, and for a while I called it the Symphony of Music of art, art of symphony, I was an oboist in high school and college, and then I played handbell choir when I moved to La Porte for several years at a kind of an advanced level. It was back when we even went to Europe twice with our handbell groups. It was amazing, and it kind of got me through a period of time where I was a graphic artist and working at a desk for the whole day and cranking out logos, which I don't mind doing. I thought it was creative and good, but by the end of the day, I was very stressed under the time constraints. And I'd go and play handbells, and it was wonderful, that connection to music. So as a person who loves music, I did volunteer and then work part-time as a manager and then became executive director of the La Porte Symphony. Through that, I met a lot of people, a lot of artists that needed management. And what happened is my husband, who had a manager out of Chicago, she passed away. And so there was a small group. There was only about 5 of them, opera singers and my husband and some people, and they needed a manager, somebody to help negotiate contracts and find work for them. And I've been doing that for quite a while now. And it's the people that I have on my roster. I have about a dozen at the present moment who I've been really bummed. I actually talked to them all yesterday because we're still advertising internationally through Musical America, which is a big deal that is part of, I create the ads and they support the concepts and all of it's going digital these days, but there's so many opera companies that are on hold, but just chomping at the bit to be back. And that's what I found out yesterday between my phone calls.
Now, you were involved in a book that you illustrated. Tell us about that. I know it's going into print, and we're just curious about that. It's called Gojo, I believe.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. It was amazing. At the end of 2019, a friend of mine called up. I had illustrated a book about 20 years ago, and she remembered it. And she wrote a book and said, I want you to illustrate my book, because I remember how much she enjoyed that. It was a little Christmas book about the nativity and how the animals talk to each other. And it was a cute book. But this one is called Go, Joe, and it's the story of Jonah, the biblical Old Testament story. But it's got a lot of new twists to it. And, you know, she told me about it. I said, well, send me what you wrote. And I read it, and I just said, I have to do it. It was compelling me to do it because she wrote it in this beautiful lyrical way. It's an early children's reader. She is presently, or had been at that time, was a nanny for a few years. And so she did tons and tons of reading to children and decided she should write a book. And it took her like 6 years to really get the words all together that she wanted for this little book. But I committed to it. We talked to each other and we committed to it last year that by the end of the year in 2020, we would have this done. I had no idea how I could possibly have time to do a book with all the stuff I do. And suddenly I had a lot of time on my hands and I just loved it every day. I had a goal when I was staying at home, and it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. And I know the book has turned out visually much, much better than me just cranking out something that I could have cranked out that was fine. It's got a lot of energy in it. I did it mostly in watercolor and then with pen and ink sketching over it. And it's just fun. And it has a wonderful ancient message about God's love. And then the ending is got this wonderful ending where it showed the people of Nineveh when they were bad. Then it shows the people of Nineveh when they were good. And then the final page is showing a street scene of today with children of multi-races playing together and multi-sexualities of people. And that was something we planned over a year ago, and now it's even more appropriate that it's just full of a lot of things for children and parents to relate to today and good lessons.
When is it going to be released?
I believe it's at the publishers. It should be, they said by November it'll be out. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Excellent.
Do you have any other collaborations lined up?
Not yet, but it did renew my spirit for illustrations, and I think I will be doing more of that. Right now I do have a couple of clients that I'm working with on logos and their website and their visuals to go with their website. I also do that. But I'd like to do more illustrations. I do have greeting cards that I'm working on. That's my next project. Oh. And they're inspirational greeting cards that will be uplifting. A good friend of mine who I met because of the fashions, she's, and I started talking about, you know, all these people that are shut in that need something uplifting and you can't find anything at the stores that really say what you mean. And then I received a card from my dad recently that, you know, it opened up and it had words that he couldn't say. And it's like, I need to write some things. And so I'm working with somebody and who will help me write these things that gets a little deeper and says the things that we want to say to a person. In his case, it was, if you ever need anything, just call me. You know, that was that kind of a phrase. But, you know, he couldn't say that to me, but he could give me a card that said that, you know. And that reminds us how much something in writing means when you're not there.
And so what are you leaning toward the images on the front then?
I think I'm going to go with the mixed media. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to be a combination of definitely of words that are floating around and images that are on top of other images so people can interpret them the way they want.
And, so are you creating a new body of work for this, or are you going to use?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, excellent.
It's going to be all new. I mean, I thought about, yeah, it's going to be all new, and because I need to get back into it.
Oh, that's wonderful. So in your studio, because of your music background, I read that you love to have music playing while you're working. So what type of music is it that you're playing while you're working?
Oh, that's a good question. That's very personal. No, it's a lot of different things. And usually it's people that I know that have made recordings. and I'll vary it all the time because between jazz or classical or a pop or whatever, just to see how my art turns out. So my art can kind of match that feeling, even if you, for me, it's in there. I know it's in there.
Now you have something involved with fashion. Tell us a little bit about that. I guess it's winding down, the way I understand it. But you, it's you have a fashion thing that's you've been doing for 3.5 years, and how COVID has influenced that.
Well, that was kind of a interesting thing when a friend of mine who's a pianist is also a seamstress, and I was at a rehearsal just hanging out, and a friend of ours came and was wearing this really beautiful cloak. And she just like floated in the room. It's like, well, and it was handmade by somebody that, and her daughter had found it online and bought it for her. And we both looked at it as like, she said, well, I could sew that. And I said, well, I could decorate that. And we had a business. And so she did a lot of sewing of things. And then I would I did a lot of research on how to do fabric paint and make it permanent and make it washable. And we've been doing that for a while. Did a lot. We were in 5 different boutiques and fashion shows and fundraisers. So we had something going on, probably 2 things a month going on, and thought this was just going to go wild for 2020. And now all the boutiques are closed.
Yeah.
And all those shows were canceled. And it is just a small business. So we're kind of wrapping things up. We're going to sell out what we have made. One thing of that was silk scarves that I made by hand painting. And I might paint some more of those sometimes in the future, but all of that like took a lot of space. And the studio we were in, which was a music studio where children were taught, I just rented a room, is got sold last week. So as those owners are moving on to a different state and doing some different things. So it's time for that to be over. I guess that was kind of a casualty of COVID, but
or put on pause.
Exactly. It's not like I don't have other things happening, and she does as well. So we're fine. We're all fine with that. Sometimes things don't last forever, or it is time for a new season.
Well, it sounds like the greeting cards are going to be, it's going to be a large project, actually, especially if you're creating new work for it.
Yeah, I think that'll go hand in hand. And I kind of do imagine an opportunity for exhibition again and doing that with the new paintings. Because I'm kind of envisioning maybe, you know, of a painting that even if I could just section it, so different sections, one painting might work for 4 different cards.
I go back to like your very first statement about it's like it's an actual time travel experience when you found that Crayola box a note to yourself at 7 years old. So what kind of art were you doing at 7 years old? Was it drawing? Did you take things? I mean, were you doing mixed? The farm has such a wealth of materials available to it.
Right.
So what kind of art were you doing?
Well, and I was raised to sew and I knitted and I did some of those things. But at 7, I drew a lot. And at school, they even had like a contest where you could draw a picture and it would be on the school calendar. And I remember, you know, I wanted to win that every month. Well, they only let me win it once, but a year, but I tried every month to make it, and they were drawings, mostly drawings with pencil, but I did have, by the time I was like 14, we had a pond and we put a camper by the pond and I turned that into my studio.
And so what was the subject matter of those first drawings as well?
They were real things. It was pretty realistic. It was basic real things, but I did a lot of animals. I think that's why when I did the manger scenes with the Christmas book, it came very natural. And I was so excited because my uncle who is a big farmer, he just complimented me, said, you got the characters of those animals in that picture. And it's like, well, yeah, of course.
I see them all the time.
Exactly. So, you know, I think I do feel blessed that I was at the farm because it was beautiful. The sunsets and the sunrises were panoramic, and you know, there was always deer by the pond. There was always something new, and something new with each season that I would do a lot of drawing and painting. And my dad was a big woodworker. So later on when he retired, he did a lot of framing for me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And many of the times out of barnwood that was from buildings on the farms too. So
I see you do plein air planing. Have you been doing that as a one way to get out?
Yeah, I have not participated, but I'm a member of the group. I'm a member of the Doolin plein air group. This year, I have not had a time to be able to go, but last year I did it a few times. And when I go, I love those ladies and men that do it all the time. And it's very refreshing. And there's such, Northwest Indiana is just full of places to enjoy.
I know, all different landscapes.
Doolin plein air group too, they also do a nice way of socializing, and that's a way for an artist to stay connected with people really well, because afterwards we critique things, and then I understand now they're having, you know, bring your own lunch, but we used to go out to restaurants and really kind of glean positive vibes from each other. It was good.
I know I hosted them here at my place because we did a moonrise. So they were all set up on the side of the lake to plein air paint a moonrise. So,
well, and didn't they have the lights on their heads so they could see what they were doing? Right. And my husband makes fun of that. But yeah, it's amazing what you can do at night, even the nocturnals.
Well, do you have any future plans? We're about ready to wrap up here, Lee, but tell us about what you might coming down the pike, or what you think, or what you want to do after COVID-19 goes away.
Well, I am excited about the book release, and I'm planning to do, I do just some teaching, and I've always done some teaching, and it's always creative teaching that nurtures children to find themselves, because to do things. I never wanted to be an education director or an education major, because I thought that's too restrictive. I love inspiring kids. So I'm planning some classes on illustration. The youth of today love cartooning and that sort of thing, and I think I can help them and expressing themselves and finding how to make characters. So I'm planning to do some classes in Illinois as well as Indiana. I'm working with as a little side thing, and I think there'll be a lot of things that open up because of the book, and I would love to do more illustration for sure.
And before we let you go, how do people get in touch with you? Websites, Facebook addresses, things like that, so they can view your work online and such as that.
Well, the main thing is leebauman.com, leebauman.com is my fine art website. And Lee Bauman, I have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook page for the opera singers and people who are interested in that as well. That would be Leota Arts. I use my real name for that. leotaarts.com is the website. And but Lee at leebauman.com is an email address that everybody's welcome to use. And I'm here in Valparaiso, pretty easy to find now. And it's good. It's all good.
Well, we appreciate you being on Art in the Air. That's Lee Bauman, mixed media artist, watercolor painter, graphic designer, instructor, fashion designing to something, and also arts management for opera singers, conductors, and composers. Thank you, Lee, so much for being on Art on the Air.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Next on Art in the Air, born in Los Angeles but living in Chesterton most of his life, our next guest was a frontman for Danger Will Robinson, currently on hiatus, now doing his own solo work. Been doing music for about 21 years now, and also doing a little bit of random jobs to support that. Like most people in the arts, have a real job. I'd like to welcome to the show Justin Anderson. Welcome to Art on the Air.
How's it going?
Great.
Hello.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, about how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Well, myself, I don't come from a particularly musical family. I was adopted at a really young age by a family who doesn't have a musical bone in their body, which is actually kind of funny, because after doing research later and, you know, getting in touch with my biological family much later in life, come to find out there's actually a really long line of musicians there. My biological aunt was a concert pianist. And it, as it turns out, my biological father was a guy named Joey D of Joey D and the Starlighters. So if you're familiar, there was actually a very popular song from the 50s called Peppermint Twist.
Sure, yeah. And
that was, according to my biological mother, that's my biological father. Kind of funny, I actually, you know, watched some old videos on YouTube. And I'm not a man of particularly tall stature, and he's not either. And it's funny, he just kind of looks like a little black and white version of me. So, I mean, there's definitely a nature versus nurture thing there. But, you know, shortly after or immediately after being adopted, you know, we lived in Gary for a short time, then moved to Westville, Chesterton area. When it was time to do school. And I started playing guitar here and there in middle school. I had a buddy who played guitar, and I thought it was really cool. And I want to do that too. So I started picking up guitar. Growing up as a young kid, there's, you know, a bit of a local legend in the area, Ron Buffington. I was really good friends with his son, Rye. And Ron always had this studio in his basement. And I can remember getting busted several times for going in there and playing with the stuff in his studio. And he was like, if you want to play with this stuff, eventually you can grow up and have this stuff of your own. And that's kind of what happened. So I blame him regularly. You know, for my addiction for musical equipment. But yeah, after high school, I decided that this was going to be what I do primarily for a living. You know, a couple of small projects here and there. It was a really cool opportunity early in my career. There was a venue in Valparaiso called The Venue. And I had the opportunity to play with a lot of really big name acts now that weren't really big name acts then, and play on the same shows with them. The same thing with a venue in Bloomington called, that at the time was called Rhinos, and got to play with some bigger name acts then that, again, weren't famous at the time.
So did you do any studio work with any of these people, or just playing gigs?
Just playing gigs. It was, you know, sharing a stage with these guys, not necessarily at the same time, but kind of being on the same bill. You know, made friends a little bit with some of them. It's kind of the hilarious, you hang out with these guys every once in a while that were famous, but you never got to really touch the fame yourself. You know, I've played two or three shows now with Local H, but, you know, they're never the enormous shows. But I've actually been quite happy over the years playing smaller shows, you know, more intimate settings, being kind of the local guy. But every once in a while, music takes me, you know, somewhere else in the country to go play.
Did you ever open the recording studio you wanted to?
I did for a short time. There was a studio over on Washington Street. It was an old tattoo parlor across from the bus barn in Valpo. And it ended up kind of being a bit of a snafu because the guy I rented it from, the city didn't like him very much. And they wouldn't give him a permit to turn on his water. So I was able to open, but I was never able to accept clients over there because I didn't have running water or anything like that. It ended up being more of my personal recording studio. You know, I kind of felt like a bit of a heel there because after the paper had ran an article about that, this guy still drug his feet. And I was never able to officially open. So, I mean, now all that stuff is in my house where I'm sitting now. And I'm at least able to record my own stuff But as far as professionally opening the studio, I didn't get a chance.
Yeah, I know. Running a small studio is tough. I ran a 4-track studio in the late 70s into probably up until like the 90s, and did did mostly demo work, though I did actually have some stuff that was commercially released as a engineer. So tell us a little about Danger Will Robinson. I know you were a front man for that, and I know they're on kind of a hiatus, I think you described it. Tell us about your involvement with them.
Well, Danger Will Robinson was a project that I did with some incredibly, incredibly talented musicians that I'm still very close with now. The lineup for that in the beginning was myself, Jim Rubino on bass, and Andy Sutton on drums. Andy is an absolutely phenomenal drummer who is very versatile. Stop, Drop, Rewind. That's Andy Sutton.
Yep.
The lineup later changed a little bit. It became myself. We also had a gentleman in the band for a little while, Joe Lisak, who was on keyboards and flute. It was a kind of a fluid thing, the way the format would work out. Joe was a really great outside the box thinker as far as, the songs that he wanted to throw in, stuff like Money Can't Buy It by Annie Lennox and Monkberry Moon Delight by Paul McCartney, just really cool outside the box songs. What ended up happening with the lineup is it ended up being myself, Roy Robley Jr. on drums, who's another just top notch, probably the best drummer I've ever worked with. His father, Roy Robley Sr. on bass, really cool, easygoing guy. As chance would have it, he actually worked with my dad in the steel mill for a while. And then Bill St. Clair on lead guitar, who, was very creative in his approach to how he handled his guitar tones and things like that. He would incorporate a lot of MIDI capability with his guitar work so he could bring in things like banjo sounds and keyboard sounds and stuff through his guitar. And we played together for quite a long time, about 2 or 3 years. And, with everybody else just kind of having obligations, with other bands, we all had, 2 or 3 projects going at the same time. It just kind of ended up being, me giving them time to do their thing while I was taking time to do mine. And in the end, it's easier to coordinate your music and your gigs with one person than it is four.
Well, since you brought up one person, since you're doing a lot of solo things beside things, let's talk a little bit about that. I know you're working on an album that you plan to release in 2020 called Not Unknown Yet. And
yeah, 2021 actually in the summer. I'm shooting for the release.
Okay, and you have a title song for that called Not Unknown Yet. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we're going to listen to that.
That's actually a tune that I kind of was thinking about the local scene, and there's times where you take a break, kind of collect yourself creatively and emotionally, because when you do this constantly, long term, it takes a toll. But at the same time, you have to find a balance between staying gone too long and coming back too soon, where if you're gone too long, you end up kind of falling off the scene and nobody knows who you are anymore. But if you come back too soon, you're still a little burnt out. Not Unknown Yet is kind of playing with the idea that you're coming back with a fresh concept, a fresh way of approaching all of this. And you might not be famous, but you're not unknown yet. And for that one, there's actually a music video on YouTube for that. So if you're on YouTube, you can check out Justin Anderson, Not Unknown Yet, and check out the music video for that.
Well, let's take a listen to it. This is Not Unknown Yet from the yet-released album, Not Known Yet, from Justin Anderson.
Not available in this area.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And that was Justin Anderson's Not Unknown Yet from the unreleased album, which is for summer of 2021, Not Unknown Yet. So, excellent. So, tell us a little bit about what you're doing in terms of gig work around the area, where we can see you and things like that.
Just recently did a couple shows, Running Vines and Anderson Orchard. My next one coming up, aside from a couple private parties, my next one coming up will be at Bugaboo's in Cedar Lake, and that's November 7th, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Right now, the live shows, with COVID and people social distancing, it's hit a lot of musicians really hard as far as the live shows go with the state guidelines. A lot of us have kind of went to a virtual format as much as we can. One of the things I was doing for a little bit, and I'm still doing it as long as people are interested in me doing it, is if you have a driveway, cul-de-sac, you know, little neighborhood, I'll come to your house. I'm not even going to charge for it. I'll come to your house and do kind of a block party kind of thing where people can sit in their yard. They can enjoy the music safely, still socially distance, just kind of as almost a community service, just to get people out of the house a little bit, you know, and still enjoying live music. I often worry that in the confusion of all this, that, you know, live music will end up by the wayside when we come out of it. So right now, booking is a little bit sparse. I hope that that's going to change here in the near future. I'm used to gigging, you know, 3 to 5 nights a week.
Yeah, very good. Tell us about this new song, Space Girl, and we're going to take a listen to a portion of that. So is that going to be on the new album?
That will be on the new album. That is actually, you and I kind of have a bit of a mutual connection there. That's actually written about my girlfriend, Jen. Who is an amazingly patient person to be able to date me. being able to do that, she's an absolute saint, but she's kind of an adopted part of your family as well. So, yeah, that's a song that I wrote actually for her. That was a kind of an homage.
Very good. Well, let's take a listen to that. This is Space Girl that will be on the Not Unknown Yet album. That was Justin Anderson's Space Girl, and that's not going to be on his new album. That's going to release next summer in 2021. Justin, tell us a little bit about how people can get a hold of you and where they can find out information about you and where they maybe can find your music online.
Well, there's always SoundCloud. I have a few of my tracks posted there. If you go to SoundCloud and you search Justin S. Anderson, you can find five or six tracks there. As far as getting a hold of me and booking and whatnot, the best way to do that is I do have a Facebook page for my music, and that's facebook.com/JustinAndersonMusicNWI. You can book straight from there. You can see where I'm going to be. I'm constantly reworking the format of that, adding new stuff, adding fun stuff. You know, we're actually looking to start incorporating some kind of more interactive things like giveaways for merch and whatnot, and some contests in there. But you can always feel free to message me there if you have a private party or if you're a venue owner and you're looking for a show. But you can actually book straight from there.
Excellent. And any you talked briefly about COVID. Just real quickly, how has COVID impacted you personally?
You know what? Like I said, I think this is going to be a bit of a similar thing for all the musicians. But, you know, as much as people want to be out seeing live music, we want to be out playing live music. And because we're all struggling to strike a balance between still being entertainers and still keeping our audience safe as well as ourselves, it's really kind of cut down on that opportunity. So a lot of us have had to do things through, say, Facebook Live or YouTube and whatnot.
Have you done any of that Facebook Live?
I have. We did it. I did a series called Live from the Cedar Room, which is where I'm sitting right now, is my own personal studio. It's the Cedar Room sessions. A lot of those are on Facebook as well. I'm going to be reposting some of those here in the very upcoming future.
So excellent. Well, we're really lucky to have you on for Art in the Air. That's Justin Anderson with his new upcoming album, Not Known Yet. You can find him on Facebook at Justin Anderson Music NWI. That's on Facebook. And we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And we'd like to thank our guest today for being on Art in the Air, which is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president, radio operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Also, Mary Levan is our art patron supporter. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. See you right here next week, 103.1 FM and 89.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.